Where is Bhagavanath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Bhagavanath Pata and Gopal Pata? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gurbanga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gurbanga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gurbanga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps. Narottam Das was going to get the association of all these great acharyas, but every time he would go to find a particular acharya, he would hear that he had just departed. So he was being devastated again. He would go to, let me go to find this acharya. Oh, he has just departed. Now that acharya, he came just at the end of Chaitanya's Leela when all the devotees were departing. And it was just tearing his heart apart. He was just devastated. Finally he got some shelter. All the great acharyas were just leaving. He was just missing them one after another after another. So this mood of being separated from the acharyas is a very, very important mood to cultivate. This is why Prabhupada taught us to sing this song. more you can actually feel the separation from the acharya, or the acharyas, that's how you become connected. We see in Krishna Lila also, Krishna was exhibiting so many wonderful, amazing, inconceivably nectarian pastimes in Vrindavan. And then he departed. It just cast the Vrijavasis into an ocean of devastation, emotional devastation. But actually, one may think, well, Krishna was, why Krishna did that to them? Why he was torturing them like that? One may think. But actually, Krishna was increasing the ecstasy of their devotional motion. He was fanning the fire of Bhava, spiritual emotion within their hearts, to increase the ecstasy of love they were feeling. In other words, when you're with your beloved, it's very nice. But when you're separated from your beloved, then the intensity of loving feelings becomes magnified many, many, many times. So this is why we celebrate departure days. In the material world, you celebrate somebody's, quote, death, you think you're nuts, right? I could celebrate somebody's death. That's what the materialist would think. Here we are celebrating, of course, not really a death, apparent death. Here we are celebrating the death. We're hot, busy. So this is the understanding. Actually, these Vedacharyas, Prabhupada explains appearance and disappearance are the same thing. There's no difference. It's like somebody walks into this room. They disappeared from the hall. And they appeared here. Somebody in the temple room, you walk into the hallway, they disappeared from the temple room and they appeared in the hallway. So appearance and disappearance are actually the same thing. It's a matter of perspective, that's all. So these great acharyas, actually, they never really disappear. They just appear to disappear. Those of us who had joined when Prabhupada was here, we had to face that experience of his departure. It's a very, very heavy thing. You've seen the videos of the devotees there in Prabhupada's room, how they were weeping, just wailing and weeping. It was so intense. And Prabhupada left his body. So since we never really met Bhaktivinoda Thakura, we may have a hard time feeling that separation. At least we can philosophically understand it. What is that feeling that we should try to have to these great acharyas? Because the more you feel separation, the more they actually become manifest and become present. So we should try to feel how unfortunate we are that we miss the association of Bhaktivinoda. This great, great acharya, Prabhupada gave one lecture actually on his, we'll bring a few excerpts from this nice lecture. On Bhaktivinoda. This is in London in 1971. Prabhupada gave a lecture on Bhaktivinoda Thakura. He explains that, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is an ideal guru. He was not a sannyasi, he was grihastha, householder, living with family, wife, children. Still, he was guru. So anyone can become guru. Not that a sannyasi can become guru only. A householder can also become guru provided he knows the science. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking with Brahmananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, very highly born in a Brahmin family, very learned scholar. So he was talking with Brahmananda Roy, a grihastha, governor of Madras, and he was questioning, and Brahmananda Roy was answering. This means that Ramananda Roy was taking the part of the guru, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the part of the disciple. So he was hesitating, Ramananda Roy. He thought of myself, I'm a grihastha, I'm not even a Brahmin. Besides that, I'm dealing in material affairs, I'm a governor, I'm in politics. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, born in a high class Brahmin family. So it does not look well if I teach him. So he was hesitating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, why are you hesitating? Kiba vipra kiba shudhakina jena nastikina nai ijay trishna takpadeta se guru hoi. He said, don't hesitate either when we become a Brahman, when we become a Shudra. Kiva vipra kiva shudra. Vipra means Brahman and Shudra is the fourth class human being. So in the way Prabhupada is explaining this wonderful pastime. So his being a grihastha and working for the British government, also a government employee of the Britishers, that did not in any way disqualify him to be a spiritual master, you see. In any position, you see, one can be a guru, a teacher of this science. Then Prabhupada explains his schedule, his daily schedule. He would come home from work, immediately take dinner and go to bed. No evening entertainments. And he'd get up at midnight. And all night long he would do this writing. Prabhupada said, Sabatyanod, Dekori, he was grihastha, very responsible officer, magistrate. And if he was so exalted, he would come from his office generally at 5 o'clock, take his supper, and immediately go to bed, immediately. Say at 7 o'clock in the evening, he goes to bed. He wakes up at 12 o'clock. So suppose he goes to bed at 7 o'clock in the evening, makes up at 12 o'clock at night, it is sufficient sleep, 5 hours. One should not sleep more than 5 or 6 hours. Minimize as far as possible. So in this way, Prabhupada explains, he would get up 12 o'clock and he would write books. Prabhupada explains that he left about 100 books. Can you imagine 100 books? How much writing he did? How dedicated he was for giving us Krishna consciousness. Of course, he is the one who pioneered the teachings of Chaitanya to Western countries in 1896. The same year that Prabhupada appeared, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya appeared in the Western world because Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent a copy of the life and precepts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to McGill University in Montreal, Canada. So he didn't let his grihastha ashram stop him from preaching. Don't think, well, I'm a grihastha, I'm not a sannyasi, you know, or I'm a housewife, I've got kids. You shouldn't think that way. Every devotee should remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how dedicated he was. No material sense gratification. He dedicated himself for preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains here, there is one incident very interesting. When he was magistrate in Jagannath Puri, the system is Jagannath Temple is a very big establishment. In the temple, 56 times daily, bhoga is offered. And you'll find in the temple always at least 500 to 1,000 people gathered, and they come from the outside, and prasad is ready. If you go and ask in the Jagannath Temple, we are 100 men, come from the outside, we want prasad. Yes, immediately ready. So there's a huge temple. This is one temple, but there are many other thousands of temples in India where prasad is distributed. Now it is minimized by our present government. They think it is unnecessary expenditure. They're minimizing, but not unnecessary expenditure. They do not understand. Formerly in India, there was no necessity of hotel. Anyone who goes anywhere, even in a village, he goes to a temple. Prasad is ready. There is no need of going to a hotel. You pay, you don't pay. You say that, I want a little prasad. Yes, take it. That is the system still, that in the Nathdwara temple in Rajasthan. You pay 2 anas only. 2 anas means 1 cent. You get samsa prasad for 2 anas, all very nice prasad. The Prabhupada is going on explaining this way. So he gives, goes into a story. There was an imposter incarnation of God in a village. And he was attracting everyone. He was dancing Rasa Dila with the girls, a bogus incarnation. So the Britishers saw him as a threat to the government, their British rule, because he wanted to take over India. He had political ambitions. So they sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur to quell this imposter incarnation. They backed the right person. He came there with the constables, and they captured him. He threatened to use all kinds of mystic powers, but he wasn't able to withstand the constables coming to arrest him and haul them off. They then took him to, they put him in jail, and at that time he was using his mystic powers on Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his family. And they all became very, very ill. The wife became ill, the children, it's like on the verge of death. The whole Bhaktivinoda family was on the verge of death. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would not back down. He wouldn't back down. He wasn't going to let the yogi defeat him. There's a contest between the mystic yogi and the bhakti yogi. So they took him on a trial. Actually, someone had heard that these yogis, they keep their power in their hair. So in the courtroom, they cut off all his hair, and he completely lost all his power. And he actually died shortly after that. So then there was another complaint of an imposter Balaram. So again, another chore for Bhaktivinoda. So he was very trusted employee of the British government. Actually, that position he had was the very topmost position an Indian could hold within the British government. He got all the way to the top. He was so much prized and appreciated by the British government. If you go to his house there in Navadvip area, you see there's a rail station. That railway was built just for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just imagine. He was such a valued employee, they built a railway just so he could come to the office for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He very much appreciated the British government. And he would take leave from his working. Of course, he was actually very efficient as well. What the others would take hours and hours to do, he would finish up his business very quickly. He was very expert at doing his material occupation. So he did it. In record, in the shortest possible time, in the most expert way, he outperformed all the other co-workers who were doing similar work as him. He was very, very expert. So he would take time off all and go preaching in the village, this whole Namahat program. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, it was inaugurated by Lord Nityananda, but then Bhaktivinoda Thakur expanded it all over Bengal. He's preaching, Namahat preaching. So how much we're indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we cannot begin to imagine how much we're indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He felt that he could not accomplish his mission alone. So he begged Krishna. He said, "You please send me someone from your personal stock." Wanted special insider. So that in answer to his prayer, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, as a boy, was called Bimal Prasad. Bimal Prasad took birth. It's a very, very special thing. But, you know, the umbilical cord, the babies have the umbilical cord, but when he's born, the umbilical cord was around his neck, was draped on like a Brahmin thread. The umbilical cord like a Brahmin thread. And he came out of the womb with his Brahmin thread already there. The umbilical cord. So, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had special privileges during the Ratha Yatra. The cart would come and stop in front of his house so the family can come for a special darshan of Jagannath. So the little Bimal Prasad, he'd just been born. So the wife, she brings Bimal Prasad up, actually getting on the cart and going right up for Lord Jagannath. And lo and behold, what happens? As soon as the little baby is in front of the... Immediately the garland falls off Jagannath and the little baby is... So these amazing pastimes are there in Bhaktivinoda Thakura's life. Amazing, amazing pastime. Actually, my godbrother, he has made a whole book, he's done research. There's a whole book about the Bhaktivinoda Leela, very amazing book. If you have a chance to read it sometime, very nice book. All these detailed pastimes in Bhaktivinoda Thakura, which I don't have it memorized. But these great acharyas, you see, these are these are Krishna's mercy upon us. Because we're very much drowning right now in this ocean of birth and death, we're captivated by material sense gratification. These great personalities come and they give us the means of actually regaining our original relationship with Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. We cannot even begin to imagine how fortunate we are that these acharyas have come. And to develop attraction for them, attachment to them, it's a very, very important principle. As I many times quote from the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakti jana parka, na me bhakti shtate janaha, mad bhakta mancha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, name bhaktas, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So the more we can develop attraction to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pari Vajrakacharya Astatarizadashishimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. That is our Krishna consciousness. Sometimes a neophyte devotee may say, well, how can I be attracted in particular to an acharya if the acharya is gone? Actually, we're cultivating one lady, and she said, well, how can I be attracted to Prabhupada? I've never seen him, and I can't meet him. It's the same principle. Bhaktivin, for you, you know, I don't think any Prabhupada disciples say, you never saw Prabhupada. But yet, you have some feeling for Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Because we're hearing about Prabhupada, we're serving his mission. So the physical meeting is not required. So this is, you all can feel something for Prabhupada in his separation. In the same way, we can learn how to feel something for this great, great saint, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because it's by his mercy that we have Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, by whose mercy we have Srila Prabhupada. So, how much we're indebted to him, we have to feel some appreciation, some genuine appreciation within the heart for this great, great personality. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is famous for these poetic lines. He says, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, when thou art living still in sound and living, try to spread the holy name around. So, we just learned something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur from himself. From his own lips, we have learned something. That actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not gone. He reasons ill who tell that Vaishnava is dying. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is still present. He's still manifest. So, by hearing about him, by studying these books of Srila Prabhupada, these books of Srila Prabhupada connect us with all these departed acharyas, all the holders of the succession, all the Goswamis, all of these great personalities. There's a whole pantheon or a whole world of great acharyas there. And Prabhupada's books give us access to the association of these great exalted acharyas, these great exalted personalities. So by sincerely chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
At least 16 times around the japa mala beads every day. By strictly giving up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, and by sincerely trying to work as a loving, cooperative member of this Vaishnava Sangha, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, these activities will make us very dear to Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, etc. This process that Prabhupada is giving us enables us to enter into the Sangha of all these great personalities. Prabhupada is not alone. Prabhupada is simply the tip of the transcendental iceberg, so to speak, because you have thousands of great Vaishnava acharyas going back throughout history. And simply by sincerely following our own spiritual master who represents Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, this will actually bring us into this association of these great personalities. So this is required, you see. It's described in Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his association. So we have to learn how to associate with these great acharyas. We have to learn how to associate with them through the medium of hearing and remembering. Because around us is a whole material society. We have the association of the devotees who are present here, the current ISKCON members. We have on this planet right now, of course, there are many ISKCON members in the spiritual world now. Prabhupada said, we'll have there's already another ISKCON in the spiritual world right now. There's a Sangha of ISKCON devotees in the spiritual world waiting for us to come and join their Sangha there. So the more we can absorb ourselves in remembering, serving these great acharyas, this will enable us to associate with them by service, by remembrance, by developing feelings for them. So this way, our consciousnesses will become transformed from their present contaminated state and gradually be morphed into pure bhakti. This is not an artificial thing, because actually we are all pure devotees. By our very nature, we are pure devotees. But due to bad association with the material nature, coming from a foolish attempt to try to lord it over the energy of the Lord, we've gotten contaminated like anything for millions of lifetimes. We've been wandering in this karma chakra, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a germ. You see? So, by the mercy of these great souls, these great acharyas, we can get out of the quagmire of material existence and come back to our actual identities as Krishna's eternal servants. So perhaps there's some questions I can try to answer them. When we visit the samadhi of these great acharyas and goswamis, how do we feel so much positive spiritual vibrations there? Are the acharyas present there actually? Yes. Just like, these acharyas are present in their samadhis. Certainly in Vrindavan, every morning we go to Prabhupada's samadhi. We have a Mangal Arti there, the Gavata Gambira. It is so powerful. These great acharyas are present in their samadhis. And you can go there and pray to them and just beg their mercy that you can develop pure love of God. They will hear your prayer and they will act and help you to actually awaken. Even if you're not their samadhi, even just by remembering them, they will help you. How do we stay away from Maya? By always connecting yourself with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When we chant Hare Krishna, we're directly associating with Krishna. Some may say, well, what about Rama? Well, you know, I just read in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. So Krishna says, I am Rama. So when you chant Hare Rama, you're also associating with Krishna. Krishna confirms in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Hare refers to Radharani, and Krishna and Rama refer to Krishna. So you're associating with Radha and Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. By that association with them, taking them deeply into your heart, by going and by begging the mercy that they can awaken your pure love for them, then you will be liberated from material influence and completely transformed by spiritual influence. Can you please explain how as grahasthas we can be serious in our bhakti? Just by remembering Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was a powerful acharya, even though he had like 10 or 12 kids and a very responsible position with the government. Don't think you can't be a preacher because you're a grihastha. Actually, Prabhupada tells the story. You see, his Guru Maharaj sent a sannyasi, Ban Maharaj, to London to establish Krishna consciousness. He was a complete failure. It was very expensive to maintain with Indian rupees his disciple in London. Very expensive. Even now, you can see the difference between the British money and the Indian money. It's very expensive for Indian money in London. And they also then, it was very expensive. So there was no success. But then when he sent three grihastha couples, and one little daughter also, Saraswati, they were able to accomplish, but the sannyasi was not able to accomplish. It's interesting, this connection. One of my godbrothers said,
when are you going to take sannyas?
One of my sannyasi godbrothers, he's like,
when are you going to take sannyas?
So when I first took up the service of initiating guru back in about the year 2000, the GBC men there, they said, you should take guidance from one particular sannyasi on your, it was an experienced guru. I was a new guru. So, you'd be trained by another guru, how to be a guru. So they said, you should take training from this godbrother of yours, Veer Krishna Maharaj, actually. So I sometimes consult with him because the GBC told me to take guidance from Veer Krishna Maharaj. So when this godbrother sannyasi said, when are you going to take sannyas? So I asked Veer Krishna Maharaj what I should do. He said, you're better than sannyasi. So now when sannyasis do that, or actually a godbrother is getting ready for sannyasi, he asked me the same question when I was going to take sannyasi. They said, well, I was told that I'm actually better than sannyasi. So it's not that I should think that about myself, but of course, I should think I'm lower than the straw on the street, right? But the point is that one can preach as a house sorter or a vanaprastha. Sannyasa, you don't have to take the sannyasa order to be spiritual master even. That's the point. Not that I should think I'm better than the sannyasis. That would be crazy. They're my exalted godbrothers. But understand that it doesn't matter really the ashram. That's the whole point. The point is, if you simply have that desire to make the world Krishna conscious, Krishna will empower you to do amazing things. Simply have that desire to make the world Krishna conscious, that's the point. Okay. How to bring up your children in Krishna consciousness? You be Krishna conscious. You have to be the example of a pure devotee. You have to strive for pure bhakti at every minute, with every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. If you're in that mood, you'll be relishing the nectar of Krishna consciousness And when your kids see that, it's contagious. If you're a quasi-devotee and expect your kids to become pure devotees, forget it. How do we understand the spiritual master's body is spiritual and not material? Because it's fully engaged in Krishna's service. An iron rod, when it comes in contact with the fire, becomes transformed into fire. You say, well, it's not fire. Prabhupada said, you don't think it's fire? Touch it. What happens if we die without initiation? Well, if you're sincerely trying, you're getting ready for initiation, you really want to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, but you know, the day before the yoga, you have the car accident, your heart is in the mood of being surrendered. That's the most important thing. The ceremony is not the thing, it's the dedication to the Guru Parampara system and a particular representative of the Guru Parampara system. That is essential. Because Krishna says, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So the ceremony is reconfirms what you've already, the decision you've already made in your heart. You see, I'm now giving myself to this great Vaishnava, this disciple. If you've done that, then you're properly situated. Even if you have an accident on the way to the yajna, and you leave your body before you get the mantra. What is it like in hell? Well, I think we're already in hell, isn't it? Melbourne? We were in hell last night, downtown. I mean, the Harinam party was going on with great enthusiasm, and the boy came out of the shoe shop and gave us this like face like, you're disturbing my business, you know. Isn't that hell? So I said, I told the party we should move them down the road a little bit, not to agitate necessarily the merchants, you know. But it's hellish. This we're already living in hell. Of course, there's worse hells than this. There's Krimi Bhojana, you know, where it's a lake of worms eating worms, you can imagine. They're all cannibals. If you're a worm in Krimi Bhojana, you either eat other worms or they eat you. That's another hell waiting, Krimi Bhojana. How did Bhaktivinoda Thakur become Krishna conscious? I don't remember the story. I forget the story, but it's there in that book that I mentioned. I wanted to follow the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but to take up a daily routine like he did, being so strict with time, sometimes is not practical. The main thing that steadily is very, very hard. How do I work on it? Well, if you're not able to write 5 hours a day, at least write for 4 hours a day. You know? If you can't write for 4 hours a day, write for 3 hours a day. If you can't write for 3 hours a day, write for 2 hours a day. If you can't write for 2 hours a day, write for 1 hour a day. If you can't do that, write for a half hour a day. If you can't do that, write for 15 minutes a day. Prabhupada encouraged us all to write. He said, he encouraged us all to do writing, because writing helps to strengthen your realizations. So it's good that every devotee had, you know, you have a little journal, you know. Even in your smartphone, you can have a little place to put down realizations, you know. You're on the bus, and you can jot into your smartphone some realizations. And this writing is very, very good. It helps you to sharpen and clarify your thoughts. So everybody should do at least a little writing. At least a little writing every day. Prabhupada encouraged that and instructed us to do that. So here's another tip. Whatever time you do have, even if it's only a little bit of time, utilize it fully in Krishna consciousness, and then Krishna sees that you're not wasting your spare time on frivolosity. Then he'll give you more spare time. You see? Let's say it's in spare time, you go see some karmi movie, right? Then how much spare time Krishna's going to give you? He's going to cut back on your spare time if you're using it for sense gratification. But the spare time you do have, you use it to read, to chant, to preach. You see what I'm saying? You see the point? Whatever spare time you do have, you utilize it to the max in Krishna's service, And Krishna says, okay, that's another time. It's like in my life, we were, we had some business. My wife and I were running a business called Travel Rama. And we were also preaching. We were selling tickets to a place called India. And many devotees were our customers in North America. Even the gurus, you know, like Bhati Charuswami would call me, and Vinod Sarupa would call me, and Bhakti Tirthaswami would call me for tickets. So it was kind of transcendental. So saying all the devotees, you know, selling tickets to Holy Dham. But we were also preaching. We had running a preaching center. We had full-on program, full-on deity worship with Radha Damodar going every day. And so then Krishna freed us up. We didn't do the business anymore. He freed us up, and we just did full-time preaching for the last, I don't know, 10 years or something. 10 or 12 years, something like that. Just nothing but preaching. So the point is, whatever spare time you do have, you utilize it fully for Krishna, the magic will happen. I just got a letter from my godbrother Shama Sundar, who was the one who introduced George Harrison to the Beatles. I just finished his book, and I wanted to, you know, I was the first volume of his book called Chasing Rhinos with the Swan. And I was so inspired, I really wanted to write him the thank you letter. And I explained how I was really inspired that it's chasing rhinos. Rhino means something that's impossible to achieve, but still you go after it, you see. And then by Krishna's grace, the magic happens. So I explained in my desire, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness in a very big way. And I had that burning desire to see that the whole world becomes Krishna conscious before I leave this body, you see. And he encouraged me. He said, when you chase the rhinos, Krishna, then you'll experience the magic of Krishna. So those are very nice words, you see. So the point is, whatever time you have for preaching and for cultivating Krishna consciousness, utilize it to the greatest possible extent, and then Krishna's magic will happen. That's the point.
Remembering Srila Prabhupada's pastime when he was sent to ask George Harrison for money.
Oh, that pastime is amazing. Here's an example of the magic. Everybody, George Harrison and Shamasana made contact with George Harrison and become good friends. So right, they were doing kirtan, cultivating. It was wonderful. But Shamasana policy never asked George for money because he was being hounded. He was, you know, millionaire rock star. Everybody was hounding him for money. The policy is never ask George for any money. But George would volunteer. He'd buy the marble for the altar. Spontaneously he would volunteer, but the policy was never ask George for anything. Just keep giving George. Bishad him, give him, give him gifts. Give George and don't ask him for anything. That was the policy. So then Prabhupada needed money to print the Krishna book. He asked Shama Sundar to ask George for the money, and Shama Sundar was going, oh. So it was very heavy, you know. But how he did, he knew George would flip out. He knew George would flip out, he didn't want to do it. So anyway, he was having dinner, he was with George having dinner at somebody's house. And finally he had to do it. But he wouldn't ask him directly, so Prabhupada asked me to ask him. He made Prabhupada the bad guy. Prabhupada asked me if he can donate the money to print the Krishna book. He needs $19,000 to print the Krishna book. And George got this look on his face like, oh no, you're just like all those other people. It was like, he's about ready to say something really negative, you know. It's like, oh my God, horrible thing. And then, at that minute, whammo! lightning hit the house. And all the lights went out. And everybody was shaking. And it was a direct hit of lightning on that very house. Everybody was shaking and terrified. Like, and then the lights come back on. And George had this big smile on his face. And he says, after that, what can I say? And Prabhupada had told Shyamasundara, don't worry. He said, Krishna will help you. So, and it happened. Krishna was watching the whole scene. Krishna arranged a thunderbolt to hit that light, hit that house just at that exact moment. So the fact is, if you either you chase the rhinos of making this world Krishna conscious to the best of your ability in whatever ashram you're in, if you dedicate yourself for making the world Krishna conscious, whatever you can do, a little bit, doesn't matter. Even, you know, every the rock, even the spider put a little dust in the Indian Ocean and long appreciated. You don't have to be a Hanuman, you can be a little spider. Let me do one book today, one book this week. Everybody makes, I have to do whatever I can to make this world Krishna conscious. And Krishna's magic will happen. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Let's see here, what else we got going on here. When we become demon, do we become devotee? Actually, there's no such thing as a demon really. Actually, every living entity in all of existence is a devotee of Krishna. But when we're covered by the false spirit of enjoying separately from Krishna, that's called demoniac. So it looks like the question well is run dry. And our time is almost up. So there's nothing further. We can stop here. And we thank you all very much for attending today. We're trying to remember and beg for this mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Again, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. Now our living still in sound and living try to spread the holy name around. So let us serve the mission of the great Bhaktivinoda Thakur by spreading the holy name to every town, to every village, to every man, woman, and child on this planet ASAP. Thank you very much. Shiva Baba Ki Jai, Shiva Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai.